Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today Caroline Plum from Fluidly. Caroline, hello to you.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you. And listen, there may be a few people out there that don't know who you are. So just for the benefit, would you tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do now?
Yeah, so my name is Caroline Plum. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I built my first business when I was 21 and scaled that to a business of over 80 people today, over 15 million turnover, predominantly in the area of professional services. So that is around innovation consulting, recruitment services. After building that up, which was great, I'm still non-executive chairman today, I decided I really wanted to build another business.
And of course you do, because you're an entrepreneur, right?
Well, that's it. And it was a good time for me personally. You know, I have got three kids and my youngest had just turned one. And I really wanted to do something again for me. So I had that entrepreneurial bug and wanted to kind of refresh. And so I thought that I'm going to build a new business around a pain point that I just really knew and had experienced and had been frustrated there was never a solution around. And that was in cash flow forecasting and management. And that's what Fluidly is all about. So we're all about cash flow, the kind of inflows, outflows, everything in between.
The best entrepreneurs find something that gives people pain and they come up with a solution, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. And I think, you know, cash flow is the number one stressor of businesses. It is more than a third of business owners say they can't sleep at night through late payments. More than 60% say they have lost sleep over the stress of money and cash flow. You know, we talk about it all the time that it is the number one thing required to build a successful business. And yet the management of cash and cash flow is complex, time consuming, painful, uncertain, difficult to control. And I really want to do something about that.
So you want to get this into the businesses, and presumably accountants are great partners for you in getting this to their clients.
100%. So we know that the most trusted advisors to businesses are accountants, and that they are crucial in helping businesses make the right financial decisions. And those that are partnered with really great firms that help them build their businesses drive not just success for their own business, but for the kind of community and for the country more broadly.
And presumably as an evangelist for Fluidly, you'd want to get this into everyone's hands. But is there a sweet spot of accounting client, what kind of firm that would be great for Fluidly?
So we know if you are a really, really tiny business, perhaps a sole trader, one person, and you don't have a lot of complexity in your finances, you can hold a lot of that in your head. Right. And you don't need to have a kind of cash flow tool there. And if you are one of the largest businesses in the country and you have teams, hundreds of people in finance and planning and analysis, FP&A, and they're building all their models for you, then you don't need it either. But you know what? Everybody else, which is really like a really huge part of the addressable market. Yeah. Once you start running a business and you've got finances and perhaps you're employing a few people or a few hundred people, figuring out what's going to be your bank balance at the end of the month, at the end of next month, in 3 months' time, and making, you know, good financial decisions about your financial future, then you need cash flow forecasting.
Now, you're on the outside of the accounting profession in a way, Caroline, looking in. What do you see?
It's interesting. So my whole career has been in professional services, and I'm also one of the UK's business ambassadors for professional services. So although I've been on the outside of the accounting profession, I've been very much involved in the professional services industry more broadly. And across that sector and across that space, I see, you know, in, particularly in the UK market, we are brilliant at it. Fundamentals of standards, of rule of law, of geographic location, of excellent people who combine both strong education with creativity is, you know, brilliant fundamentals for the industry as a starting point. But there are also challenges ahead, of course, as well. And some of those are around, you know, the rise and rise of automation and the change in skill sets and some of the shift in skill sets that's going to be required as, you know, different technologies start to come in.
Yeah, we'll dip into that a little bit more. From what you see of the large accounting firms, the top 100, what would you say separates the good firms from the great ones?
I think that really great businesses and professional services are focused on people. And, you know, all businesses are people businesses, particularly in professional services and accounting firms. You know, the core asset is people. It's not stock or machinery or factories or necessarily IP. Well, it's IP in people's heads and it is people, but those assets kind of go up and down on the lift every day. So, you know, recruiting talent, managing talent, developing talent, and having those people really have empathy and affinity for their customers as also individuals is really critical, I think.
Do you see a consolidated, settled accounting profession, or do you see something that's morphing and changing and turbulent?
I think structurally, the market is always changing and will continue to change in the future. There hasn't been an industry where there are huge returns to scale. It's possible to get brilliant service on quite a small scale. So it is perhaps more fragmented and more distributed than most. You haven't got the kind of big network effects players that you get with telco or financial services. Yeah. So it's not the same dominance of the big four as there are in other areas. But of course, there still is a big four.
Yeah.
Actually, for most businesses, the people that they interact with, their accountants day to day, are, again, you know, distributed around the country. And there's a lot of talent and a huge capability everywhere.
What are some of the big challenges that large firms face right now, particularly if they want to grow?
Traditionally, a lot of work has been in the ad hoc space and build, you know, by the hour on a time and materials basis. And in a world where both services and products are moving to subscription, and it's how do you start to evolve that sort of very project-based and perhaps hard to price and hard to deliver in a very bespoke way, how do those services start to reflect some of the kind of demand from customers to have longer term relationships and more consistent billing practices and subscription practices? Mm. And technology has a big role to play there as well in terms of how do you start to shift to value added services. We can see that automation is going to mean that elements of compliance and elements of traditional kind of bookkeeping activities will start to be powered more and more by additional technological influences. And so what does that mean in terms of the skill sets of the future to really deliver?
Yeah, excellent points. And in striking a balance between compliance and advisory, Fluidly will obviously have a role to play in that.
Yes, I mean, I think our role is very much on that looking ahead and what next, you know, the so what. And if you think of the kind of how you build up a problem, you go from sort of what to so what to now what. And, you know, we're very much in that kind of so what, now what space. What we see is there's been a huge drive from automated data entry, automated reconciliation, a lot of tools to start supporting basically a real-time view of accounting in the cloud, but also even if it's on-premise, it's very much becoming increasingly real-time. So the question is, well, given we have this brilliant, now rich, real-time data set, how do we use that to see what's coming up, to see around corners, to see you know, the icebergs before you crash into them and see the opportunities before competitors get there? Mm. And that's really where a tool like Fluidly really looks to deliver value. So predicting what's going to happen next and helping accountants intervene and get ahead of that so they can support clients.
How good are accountants at changing? Because they will rely very heavily on compliance, it's gross recurring fees. Advisory stuff is nice when it comes up, but would you agree that very few of them know how to have the advisory conversation and are stuck for ways to add value?
I think that often advisory is seen as having to deliver a lot of kind of new consultative fill sets, which it is, but often people think of that as being requiring new sort of business development type activities or more sales. And certainly that is one way to build an advisory practice. But I think many accountants are more comfortable in delivering really expertise and using that thought leadership and the expertise that they bring as the powerful, you know, element they can deliver to businesses. Mm. And accountants have huge expertise in understanding the historic numbers and making sense of them. For a business and going beyond sort of delivering reports, which perhaps a business owner might not even understand, but actually turning that into something meaningful and something that actually can move a business forward.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about predictive analytics, because you're something of an expert on this, aren't you?
Well, I certainly am something of an expert in recruiting brilliant people who are real Yeah, I'm not a data scientist myself, but my team absolutely is. My engineering degree is 20 years out of date, so I wouldn't claim expertise now. But what we do is use the data that is in accounting packages, and that transaction data, that time series data built upon the chart of accounts, you know, the transactions that have occurred to date. And our expertise and core IP is taking that time series data and using machine learning algorithms, so the branch of artificial intelligence, to forward predict what is most likely to come next, given the historic data that we've seen. And that is what my team of PhDs and machine learning data scientists are really expert in.
They make you look good, don't they?
They do, and they are awesome. So,
and in terms of the clients with the advisory stuff, you think segmenting them is important, don't you?
I do. So I think, you know, when it comes to advisory, it's never one size fits all. And it's about really understanding clients, both as people but also as businesses, to drive that advisory revenue. And segmentation is one of the most kind of fundamental principles in marketing, of course. And people have a sort of intuitive understanding of it, but it's often not very, it's often done on fairly limited segments. So when you think about segmentation itself, it is a marketing technique. It really just distinguishes between different groups of prospective or current customers, then a way to maximize value that can be delivered to them, and then tailoring each group or segment tailored with appropriate communications, services, products, pricing, which is a really good fit for them.
What frustrates you about the accounting profession?
Well, actually, I think accountants are some of the warmest, nicest people and are super pragmatic as well. What's been interesting, actually, is how detailed and feature-interested accountants really are. It's not kind of glitz and false promises. That would never work in this market. And it's reassuring to see that actually what accountants are really interested in is the mechanics. And they're really interested in how do we build our algorithms? You know, what are the specifics of that? What precise features do we have and how do they operate? So they're incredibly thorough and really good at getting to the bottom of a product or service to make sure it's a really good fit to client needs. And that is brilliant to see.
When you look at the really successful firms, what's really working for them and where do you see the most opportunities for them?
I think I'm beginning to see kind of a professionalisation of the kind of go-to-market process. And that is the process from, you know, understanding the customers and markets that they operate in, segmenting those appropriately and starting to tailor products and services accordingly. And often that's starting to become a little bit more centralized and have a much more consistent thread in terms of messaging, in terms of branding and clarity. So it's not such an impenetrable, you know, what's my relationship going to be like with this accounting firm? It's much more about there's a consistent process behind that client relationship. And that touch point is more consistent, whether that's marketing communications, whether that's in the product, whether that's in the pricing, the kind of consistency of service. That is really cutting through, I think, now.
In terms of the high performers in large accounting firms, it seems like they've got to do everything now. They've got to be technically brilliant. They've got to be able to win work, be socially confident. They've also got to be geeky enough to understand stuff like Fluidly and how that fits into the client offering. Is the all-round accountant dead? Are we looking at more specialization?
So my view has always been T-shaped people. And that's a capital T. Small, that would be very odd shape. But people in senior roles have enough breadth that they can articulate effectively the breadth of services and products that a firm can bring broadly, but then they bring their own depth. And the challenge of professional services firms are running that kind of matrix organization that allows people with client relationships to actually leverage their whole suite of products and services that can be delivered within the firm, whether that's tax, whether that's audit, whether that's wealth planning or R&D, whatever it might be. No one's going to be depth specialists in all areas, and nor should they be. But it is having their personal depth in one area and then some breadth across.
I like that. Do you think there's anything that the smaller accounting firms can learn from the larger ones?
Oh, that question should definitely go both ways.
Yes, very true.
I think the larger firms have successfully built strong brands, and those brands are built on people, on consistency of values, on consistency of service, and built up over a long period of time. And of course, they can bring the kind of breadth of services. So I think what you do see with smaller firms is sort of beginning for them to understand where their specialties really are. Mm. And think with others in kind of cross referrals if it's not, if they haven't got specialisms in all areas. And it's probably not feasible for a small firm to really be broad and deep in all areas. It's about picking out the core strengths and differentiating on those.
Mm-hmm. And the other way around then?
Oh, and the other way around, I mean, there are some just brilliant smaller accounting firms out there and are fantastic at client service in particular, and bring so much more personality often to the brand. They're a bit braver sometimes in thinking about what, you know, it is about their messaging or positioning, and being bolder, but not afraid to get out there from a networking standpoint, but also to articulate who they really are with personality.
Yeah, they're great answers. So you're an entrepreneur like me. Do you see many entrepreneurs in accounting firms?
I do, all the time. And actually, there's some really interesting things happening in the market generally. One of the firms I know a reasonable amount about is Baldwin's. And just look at how entrepreneurial that journey is. Mm. In their extent of vision, ambition, and large moves they're making in the market from an acquisition standpoint. So definitely they're entrepreneurs, but in businesses large and small.
Mm. Do you have a personal philosophy for success?
Loads of stuff I've read, and I'm really interested. I guess I'm curious all the time.
Yeah.
I like to find out. I'm an engineer by background, so I've always liked to know how things work, why they work, what could be done better about them. So having that kind of endless, relentless nosiness / curiosity for people, for businesses, I think that's always taking me in interesting directions. And I enjoy, you know, reading about new ideas and finding out about new possibilities and understanding how they could be applied to an existing problem.
Mm. There's lots of problems out there for you to solve, I think, with that head on. Is there anything you believe really deeply in that other people think is crazy?
That's great. I mean, one of the things that I'm really passionate about at the moment is building new categories. So I think my background is often in innovation and what drives innovation. And one of the most interesting books I've read lately on that topic is a book by Christopher Lockhead called Play Bigger. And it talks a lot about category creation. And people often in business talk about better and faster and cheaper. But their central thesis is that the really successful businesses are those that create new categories. And there you're not talking better, faster, cheaper. You're talking different. And fundamentally, it's about creating something new that hasn't existed before. You know, so Elvis did not disrupt jazz by being a better, you know, jazz musician. He invented rock and roll, and it was different. And I think that question of differentiation, how do you stand out? How do you be unique? What are you doing that is genuinely different and hasn't existed before? That's the real challenge for business. That gets you from kind of going from Coke to Cherry Coke into building a genuinely new business that hasn't happened. And that's why I believe we're doing it fluidly, you know, creating a new category of business. It's about financial decision making and a platform for financial decision making for businesses built around cash flow.
Sounds busy in that office.
Always busy.
Have you come across Blue Ocean Strategy?
I have, as a strategy. Yes, I have.
It's very much along the lines of creating new categories and doing things differently, but and they call that Blue Ocean, rather than trying to do better what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, and I think you see that as a kind of consistent theme in terms of innovation, in terms of strategy, but it's really hard to be different.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes different is bad. The question is, can you build something different that is on a pain point that is familiar and real and large? So it's not that, it's about really deeply understanding customer needs and their perhaps unarticulated wants, and how do you understand those needs? And, you know, for me, people talk about that kind of Henry Ford quote the whole time. You know, if I'd asked people what I want, they'd said a faster horse.
Yes.
For me, asking the wrong question. Because that is about the what people really wanted there was the ability to converse and have a relationship with people in two geographically distant locations.
Yeah.
And loads of ways to solve that problem. A car is one of them, but you know what video conferencing is as well.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you're getting the wrong answer from customers, it's not the wrong answer, it's the wrong question.
Yeah. Caroline, this is great. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Best piece of advice is know what you don't know and then find someone that does.
Well, that's been great. Caroline, if people want to find out more about you and Fluidly, how might they get in touch?
I would be delighted to hear from anybody. My email is caroline@fluidly.com. Twitter handle is @fluidly or @cplumb, P-L-U-M-B.
And when they go to those sites, what might they find?
They will see about Fluidly, which is about how we can build a system that helps businesses better predict, optimize, and protect their cash flow.
And what's the benefit to accountants for that?
To help their businesses, it really is the key driver of advisory, to understand what's coming up for a business and then to intervene on that before it happens, rather than to react to events, but actually be proactive on them. The beauty of our system, because we do automated forecasting, it's not about having to spend hours and hours building a huge financial model. It allows you to monitor and on a continuous basis what is going to happen to your client base before it happens. So it makes it scalable. Mm. And it's that kind of continuous monitoring use case about what will happen to accountants that kind of gives that, you know, seeing around corners and superhero effect that is crucial to advisory.
Well, Caroline Plum, OBE, CEO of Fluidly, entrepreneur, mother of three noisy children. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, too. It's been great talking to you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.